May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn 307.
Let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his people like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, and being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. With whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished, and he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we call upon thee now. Thou knowest, Lord, everything about us. Thou knowest how we are. O Lord, we dwell upon ourselves so often. We feel so poor, so unworthy, and unworthy certainly of the least of thy notice, Lord. But Lord, we trust thou hast made us what we are. Can we venture to acknowledge like the great apostle did, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Lord, thou knowest we would be exercised now to acknowledge in honesty, Lord, everything we do know. Oh, what thou hast done for us. And yet, Lord, we feel so much our shortcomings and our sins are so troubling because we cannot, Lord, cease from sinning. We still carry about bodies of sin and death. We have an old nature, Lord, thou knowest, and we are troubled with sins, Lord, we have to confess. We go on committing sins against thee, of thought, word and deed. We cannot keep ourselves. Sins within me once said and all about me. But Lord, we do trust, we also know. The remedy is within us, Lord. And what we want tonight is to see it in the Saviour's blood. What we need, Lord, is thee to come. To come and lift us up, restore us, Lord. Grant us, Lord, another token. May we know the renewings of the Spirit. May we be so raised up by thee. Oh Lord, we've read in thy word, he giveth power to the faint. Them that have no might, he increases strength. And Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we trust that he's lead us to that word this morning early. And Lord, we've been meditating on it through the day. And Lord, we do want to know in the reality of the favour of it, personally. And the dear people do. And we trust we come, Lord, with a word from thyself for them, Lord. And oh, what our exercise is in the very earnestness of it, we trust as thou dost give it, is that thou would do thy people good. For in this way we believe thou wilt get to thyself, Lord, that honour and glory due unto thee. And so we trust we come as we have felt with the prayer of our friend we've heard offered in the vestry. Lord, we feel we're in an exercise. We trust of oneness, desiring thy glory and thy people's good, and desiring personally to benefit. Oh, may we know the blessed benefits of the gospel. And then, Lord, may we have that fullness of heart and holy joy and peace in believing, feeling the knowing it, Lord, and receiving it, and the joy that comes with it. And Lord, that we may worship thee, worship our God in spirit and in truth, Lord. And Lord, the things we have, the crooked things, oh Lord, thou hast said thou wilt make them straight. We cannot. Lord, we pray thou wilt so work. We might have the witness of it. We are very burdened, Lord, over many things. But Lord, we cast it all upon thee. Thou knowest we do, day by day. And Lord, we beg us that each of the friends may be so enabled to do, to cast their burden upon the Lord. And thy word is wonderful, and oh, may we know it, may we experience it. As we have done, some of us, may we more. Oh, there was said, the Lord, he will sustain thee. Lord, we do pray that it may be wonderfully known. And Lord, thou knowest what we need is that we need to know our interest in what is prophesied in the chapter we've read. Oh, Lord, thou wilt come. For thou hast come. And what we need is that thou wilt come to us and do us good. Lord, do good in thy good pleasure and desire, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. And so, Lord, do good in those ways according to thy will. For we know thou canst and wilt do good by sanctifying thy people, sanctifying their trials and distresses, sanctifying their weakness and their pains. Lord, thou dost so work in thy people and sanctify them by thy Spirit, and so they are given to feel the blessedness of the favour of it in thy time. Lord, there are those here before thee. We feel it, Lord, we can feel it witnessed in the hymns, in the hymn and in the prayer, Lord. We have heard of our dear brother. Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest the cases. Thou knowest what is needed. Do suit a blessing to each case, Lord. Do feed each soul that feels to be famishing, that feels to be weak, that feels to be suffering, feeling the acute hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, those that have no righteousness, those who have nothing of their own, Lord, the hymn writer said, though we have nothing of our own, We have everything in thee. Lord, oh, we pray it may be. We may know it blessedly so. Oh, we thank thee for thy maintaining goodness, Lord, in keeping our poor souls alive. We hope we can acknowledge that. We're not in that death and darkness of nature where we were. And Lord, as thou hast, we trust, quickened us, Lord. We are relying on thee continually, for none can keep alive his own soul. And Lord, there are the dark days, the times of such coldness and winter season, when there's so little life manifest by liveliness. Lord, it's a time, Lord, with some where they are in winter, they are cold, they are dark, but Lord, oh, do thou cause the wonderful warming and the wonderful light might come from thyself. Oh, that thou wouldst warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat and set our souls on fire. This is what thy dear people need. And so we pray it may be wonderfully known in thy coming to thy people, coming into thy garden, coming into thy garden here. Oh Lord, that thou wouldst come. Oh, may it be witness thou art here, and thou hast come even to receive to thyself, Lord, in that way. He feedeth among the lilies. Oh, I am my beloved's, and I am his. He is mine, and I am his, and he feedeth among the lilies. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. May this be known, Lord. May souls be blessed. May souls be favoured, Lord, with the sacred presence of thy coming to them, thy blessed presence, which makes sinners happy, which makes them feel secure. Lord, may they know it. May we each know it. And Lord, come into this garden, Lord, to eat thy pleasant fruits. May there yet be fruits appear. May the spices flow. May they flow in testimony. May they flow, Lord, and there be a flowing up in praise and honour to thee of those things that thou hast done. May there be the witness in the Church of God of what thou hast done for precious souls. Lord, work. Lord, enlighten and enliven. Set our souls on fire with love divine. Lord, oh, we've often thought and been led to that psalm where the psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. And we solemnly know, Lord, there are two kinds of burnings, Lord. They're the burnings of natural sinful passions. Oh, Lord, we're troubled with them. But, Lord, what we need, thee to so subdue our old man and save us from those burnings of natural passions, that sinful heat, that sinful warmth. Lord, oh, may we be saved from them. But, oh, may we have the blessed burning, the wonderful heat of the love of God. Oh, that our souls may be set on fire with thy love, Lord. Oh, Lord, this is what we want to know. No, we may be able to love thee by the working of the power of the Spirit, kindling love in us through thy favour in us to feel thy love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We, dear John, acknowledge love him because he first loved us. So work, Lord, and work in this way to get to thyself, oh, the honour and glory. Lord, if any are in any particular trouble, pathway of difficulty or trial. Oh, do help them, Lord, do support them, do show them that this is the way they must walk, but Lord, it is for their spiritual good. Oh, when we've been under heavy trials, Lord, we have not been able to see the real purpose of it, but oh, at times they'll give us a glimpse and a little hope, a little brightness in the gloom. And Lord, this is what we pray any such soul may have been favoured with. Oh, they may have a glimpse of thee, and that there will be that bringing through and that coming through the trial, and that shall be as the nevertheless afterward that yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Oh, the sweetness of the theme, we trust we know it, Lord, and the reality of it. Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to his feet, lay us low, and keep us there. Oh, Lord, may we have that blessed favour and thy sanctifying us in these ways. Lord, we beg. Oh, we beg thee, Lord. So lead us on in the way. Keep us alive and keep us in the way. Save us, Lord, from world and flesh and devil. Oh, keep us, Lord, close to thee. Oh, that we may be favoured to seek thee and be seeking to follow thee and live unto thee day by day. Help us each. Lord, we are troubled with some in our families, who know it. Those that seem to want to go their way and not concerned about their souls, they are a heavy burden to us. We bring them unto thee day by day. We think of our own and our friends. There are those in the churches, Lord, in the families, Lord. Oh, we bring them unto thee. Thou knowest our burden for them, Lord, and the weight and burden we carry concerning their never dying souls. Oh Lord, do thou stop these rebels in their mad career. It be thy holy will. We look for thy appearing in this. And so, Lord, we pray that in our cases, Lord, in our families, in such a concern that we have for those, and Lord, oh, the concern we have for some, where we wonder where they are, in, even though they have made a profession of thy name. This is a very bitter, hard thing, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we bring it to thee, thou knowest. And so we think of our friends in their cases and their concerns, and we beg thee, Lord, that we may know that wonderful favour, having a true spirit of prayer. For Lord, we remember one of our friends here at the prayer meeting. We were with our friends in that prayer meeting, Lord, and our friend prayed. We want to have, Lord, prayer indicted by thee. For we know thou wilt hear prayer that thou dost indict. Prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. Oh Lord, oh, we venture to hope that our prayers are indicted by thee. May we have the witness of them, such in the answers, Lord. So, Lord, that thou would do what is needed according to thy will, and we will fall before thee in humility and love if we come into the favour of witnessing thy appearing, Lord. We long, we wait, we watch for it, Lord. Hear us in all these things, we beg. And Lord, we pray this time especially for our country, Lord. Thou knowest how last Tuesday seemed to be such a sad, sad day for England to us. And we heard in the evening news, Lord, before we went to prayer meeting at our own court, Oh, that voting had been probably to the point of a majority in the wrong way, totally the wrong way, that we would have longed to know. The Lord, thou knowest the matter continues under consideration in our government. Lord, we beg of thee that thou wilt frustrate it, Lord. Oh, if it could please thee. And oh, if we are to come into such further awful state, further coming down in our standards, Lord, in our land. Oh, what can we say? We have sown to the wind. We are reaping the whirlwind. We have a government, Lord, that thou knowest is trying much to put things right financially. But oh, how can it be? How can their efforts be blessed if they are, Lord, so pursuing such awful things of purpose as they are? How can we expect any improvement in the way of our state financially, Lord, when we are going into things like are trying to lead us into more and more? Lord, the whole purpose is corrupted, Lord. Oh, we feel it so much. We are part of the land. And oh, we feel our sins, our national sins are so many, Lord. Oh, we can only beg, Lord, for mercy, that thou wilt still look in mercy upon us in wrath. Remember mercy. Oh, hear us, Lord, in heaven, for all these things, their burdens and their sorrows, Lord. Oh, we beg, may we now, at this time, be able to leave these things, these natural things of life and providence, the foot of the mount, Lord, we want to prove tonight, the blessed things of the Holy Spirit's favour. Oh, the blessed things of the love of God, the love of Christ, Lord. This is what thy people need to know more and more concerning spiritually, and have the seal of the Spirit, that we are in that blessed favour in Christ. Oh, Lord, may we have the seal of it. May we know that favour to be prepared to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of Christ. In Christ's obedience clothed, wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, we beg, may we earnestly seek it and never neglect it. Oh, Lord, may the question in thy word search us day by day. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So keep us, Lord, exercise alive. Keep us alive. He's able, we read, to keep our souls alive even in famine. Lord, we believe it. We have proved it. And Lord, we can witness it before the friends. And Lord, in deep dispensations, deep trials and sorrows, thou dost still lead on. And so, Lord, we beg, it may be wonderfully felt tonight, thy precious selves here. Oh, that thou art with them still. We beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 889. Say, is thy heart well broke, and feels the plague of sin, and hateth Satan's yoke it sweetly once drew in? Give Christ the praise. He broke thy heart, and taught thee how to feel the smart. Hymn 889.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter that we read. That is the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and the last two verses, the verses 30 and 31. That is Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. These words came sweetly to me very early this morning, and I knew when they came that they were for the text tonight. As we have read the chapter, we know, we are all aware, I think I can say that we know that in the context here, in this book of the prophet, it is this chapter which is the beginning of the second part, or last part of the book, really. There's a kind of divide from the end of the previous chapter and now this chapter. We know there are things, solemn things, acknowledged by the prophet of the situation, the troubles, the sorrows, the way the people had been in idolatry, and God's righteous displeasure and anger toward them. And we know there were also before the people of Israel those things that were to come that were very, very hard, very, very solemn. God was dealing with them in a way of judgments, and judgment and mercy to God's people, judgments on the whole land. But, oh, friends, here particularly, there's the call to God's servants, to the prophets, that the prophets' work and exercise shall be under God, comfort, to comfort the people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Say unto her that her warfare is accomplished. How could this be so? In the eternal mind of God, Christ was that Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And what we have much in the ongoing part of this prophecy is there is so much more than there is in the former part of the prophecy. There is more relating to that is prophesied, the coming of Christ, the Messiah. But friends, where we have this text given us, I trust, here at the end of this chapter, it is following these latter two questions, which we can see. This chapter has a number of questions in it, and looking at the questions here before this last part of the chapter, I want to direct you to the questions from verse 27 and verse 28. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? And then God says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. And this is as to explain God's sovereign will, God's sovereign dealings with his people. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I want to bring this before you that we might consider it together. I mean in the true spiritual way. For God's will is that even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. I do not believe this means this is a kind of an acknowledgement that they will sinfully fall. We know they will, we all have. But they will have to fall. They will be weary. They will have to know in experience, if God loves them, that they have to come, like we've been singing. They have to be brought to have a broken and a contrite heart. I especially felt this morning, friends, an exercise to the young people here, as we were led into meditation. I was specially led to think and ponder those young men, if they fear God's name, they're going to be brought to faint and be weary. They're going to be brought spiritually to utterly fall. They're going to be brought to have broken hearts and contrite spirits by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Lord will do it. You see, we are strong. There are a number of places in the Word of God. My mind goes to John's epistle, his first epistle, I think in the second chapter we read there about the young men that are strong and so on, because ye are strong. But you see, we are all favoured really, naturally, when we're born and we grow and we become strong and healthy. That's God's natural favour toward us. But you see, regarding spiritual things, every one of God's people have to lose their strength and have to be weakened and have to be brought down. How is this so? Why is this so? They must be taught sin's demerit. That's true what we sing, it's statement of truth according to the Word of God. They're all taught sin's demerit. They have to be. Every one of God's people have to be brought into that, to know that, to know their state as a sinner, the guilty sinner, before a holy God. This is how God brings these young men, these that are strong, the youths and the young. And if you're a young soul tonight, and you're here tonight, and you're listening to this poor preacher, I'm telling you in love and faithfulness that the young, even though they're strong, they have to be brought to feel their weakness. They have to be brought down. And like we have here, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, if you consider this spiritually, this is God working with great favour, love and favour towards these characters. He's doing it in love and mercy. If he's doing it in you, young soul, breaking you down, bringing you down, and you've got many things that are really troubling you, you look at your wicked heart, he's revealing it to you, you feel your awful state as a guilty sinner, you can't keep yourself. He's bringing you down, he's making you know. He's bringing you to be self-renouncing. And he brings his people to be self-renouncing that they may in his time be grace-admiring and thus made unto salvation wise. So if there's any of you, young or older, here tonight, and you're feeling this, you're solemnly feeling the plague of your own heart, it's God working in love and mercy. You perhaps can't begin to feel that yet, but I can tell you that's what God's doing. And I can tell you that from one's own experience. He broke our heart, my heart. He brought me to the place and state where I had to say, if my soul was sent to hell, God's righteous law approves it well, and I understood that. God made me understand it, made me acknowledge it, and he does it. He does it in love, friends, and not in anger. In your circumstances, in your pathways, all of us, we all naturally want to get on and prosper, but there'll be things, perplexities will come, troubles will come, and if we are God's people, he will use them for good. He will use them for our spiritual good. He will sanctify us in these ways by us learning under trial and difficulty and these things of that seem like cross providences. They are, but they're God's purpose is in it all, to work in love and not in anger, to give us an expected end. And I believe that this that's stated here, and we, it will help if we can remember that the question is put in the 27th verse, why sayest thou, O Jacob? That's God's people, that's God's Israel. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? You see, you can write better things against yourself. And God permits it to be so, in wisdom. And it may be you're going on, writing better things against yourself, because the reality is that you're the sinner, and you feel it. And, you know, you feel then that as you cry, you may have been crying to God for mercy, and he doesn't seem to hear you. He does hear you. He does hear you. But he doesn't seem to hear you. That's how it seems with you. But you see, he's doing it in love. He's making you wait. He's testing. It's a trial. It's a trial of faith. It is. It is. And you say, my way is hid from the Lord. It's not. It's not. But you say it is. And this is what God puts here as a question. Why sayest thou, O Israel, speakest thou, Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Of course it's not. It can't be. God sees everything. He knows everything. He's aware of everything. And certainly is aware of everything relating to his own dear people. You say, well, that's if I am one of his own people. You feel so dark. You feel so barren, and you say these things. Why say this question? Let me put it in love to you. Is this question like the questions that are rising in you? Why sayest thou, O Israel? See, God's asking you about the questions you and the things you say. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? And this is what you say. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Then he says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And then this, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. See, God's way is that his people have to be brought right down, weakened, their strength weakened in the way, and then when they are totally out of strength and weak, he giveth power to them. He giveth that they need. He giveth power to the faint. And them that have no might, increases strength. The way of God is to bring down, to reduce, to humble, to break the hearts of his people. And in his sovereign will, he must do that. But he will then build up. And the building up will be for real profit and real good and for God's honour and glory and blessed gracious encouragement, real encouragement, the true reality of God's favour, His love to be known and felt, sinners to know and taste redeeming love. It's sinners can say, friends, and none but they who precious is the Saviour. And it's sinners who are convicted and convinced and are brought into sorrow over their sins and have godly sorrow working repentance in them. These are the souls God is blessing and favouring. And in His will and purposes, He will bring them up. He'll bring you out of your graves. Oh, that's a text I remember so well. Preached in our home, own home cause at Ashford by dear John Ashby. He will bring us up out. I will bring you up out of your graves. God will do it. But you must go down into the graves. You must have this dying. You must know that this dying to all hope in self. Even the apostle says, I die daily. He had to know it. He acknowledged it. Dying to all hope in self. Coming to total utter despair of all hope in ourselves or anything else but Christ the Lord the Lamb. Oh, this is the way of God. God's sovereign way of working, dealing with His people, working in them. The apostle says to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yes. And so tonight, if you are in a place where you say, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God, oh, then there's this further question. Hast thou not known? What's your answer? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, findeth not? We do know it. You do know it. The question searches us out, doesn't it? Hast thou not known? Yes, we have to say we have known. God has shown us. God has taught us. But when we're in darkness, we can't lift ourselves up. But He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. And the real emphasis here is this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Those that are naturally expected to be strong, young men, strong in nature, but oh, to be weakened and brought down in grace and by God's sovereign purpose, they must know it. And so you see, even the youth, this is the will of God, this is the purpose of God, the way of God in working in sinners is, even the youth shall faint and be weary under the hand, under the dealings, under the teachings of the Lord, under the powerful work and operation of the Holy Spirit, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. It's in one of the hymns. It's put like this. Till falling before Him, we Lord His love name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. You know, one of the main troubles God's people have got, and they will be much troubled with, is they have got a love of their own flesh, self-love, self-esteem, self-righteousness, self-love. It's a dear man, some of you know him, a gracious man. He has loved ones at Huffington. Only very occasionally is he there, like as at the season of Christmas season. He's sometimes there when I preach after in early January. I preached there once upon the solemn things of self-love, self-esteem. And that dear man came to me to say, that's my greatest trouble. self-love. You see, we have to be brought down. We have to utterly fall from that. By God. By God's dealings with us. God will rid us of it. In that way and purpose to make us need him. And make us love him. You know, the word of God says no man ever hated his own flesh. But spiritually you will. Spiritually you'll hate yourself. You'll say like the apostle, oh that I had not of myself. But you see, God is making you feel this. It's in his love and mercy. He's making you know it and feel it. And when we are reduced to absolute nothingness in that way of our own self-esteem, so blotted and blackened and gone by God's dealings with us, then we look away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's then we really feel our need of him. When we're brought to the ends of the earth, when we're brought right down, then we have to cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But until we are brought to truly, sincerely cry that, in feeling it, you know, we won't have the blessing. You know, while we can call one might our own, we have no full discharge from the condemnation of the law of God. Now, that's God's way. And so he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, when God has so effectually worked to bring a soul he loves into this absolute fallen down state before him, in this place of confession, under conviction and confession and repentance, when they pour out their heart then, in a way of honesty, of confession, with repentance, and then a cry for mercy. Mercy. Mercy is that cry. It's Lord have mercy, Lord forgive, let a repenting rebel live. And then it is proved what we have in this last verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now are you in this place, this blessed place of need tonight? You need this renewing of your strength. You need the Lord to favour you, to lift you up. You've been brought so down, so low, so broken and burdened and afflicted. God has done it in love, purposed it in love, that you shall know this, but they that wait upon the Lord. You see, a sinner totally reduced and brought right down, then given a cry to the Lord for mercy. Oh, the publican, the example of the publican is such a wonderful, clear example. And so different it was to the dead professor. His prayer was so absolutely opposite and better and different to what the prayer of the dead professor was. It was better because it was, he had got nothing. He was going to God with nothing in his hand. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to his cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me Saviour or I die. You know, thinking of the further verse, could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. This is how God teaches. Thou must save, and thou alone. And oh then, This is what I believe this part of this chapter of prophecy states, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall. It is, they shall have that given them, what they need. They wait upon the Lord. It's a humble waiting and trust in Him, looking to Him. It's the favour of knowing that He is able. He's able to save. He's able to do what we need. I believe as God reduces His people and brings them into feeling of absolutely nothing, they're nothing in themselves. When they have nothing of their own, nothing in themselves, they see Christ is all in all, then there's this favour, faith beginning to rise in exercise. They begin to believe. They pray to God, believing He's able. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. And the wonderful feeling, the sacred feeling of love to the Lord in the want of Him. The love in exercise. He can save, He's able to save. The Lord Jesus Christ appears so lovely, so holy. He is the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, we fall before Thee. Oh, falling before Him. Falling before Him, Lord, in His love name. You will, and expect Him. As God gives you faith and increases faith, you begin to be able to expect Him to favour you. I know that's not at the beginning. I know that's not in the early days. But as God leads on, He gives a little faith. He increases it as you need it. And He so brings a sinner to the place where they start to be able to expect mercy. We deserve, your confessions will be, you deserve the wrath of God. You deserve to be cast away. You deserve to be punished forever for your sins. But God working in you, raising you up in a measure of faith and granting you to begin to believe, oh, Christ is precious. You love Him in the want of Him, and you cry and you seek and you beg, and you begin to feel some measure of humble hope. He will bless. This is waiting. This is waiting on the Lord. I believe waiting on the Lord, it's prayer, but you know, it's also, it must begin to have a blessed degree of expectation. Waiting. Waiting upon the Lord. Waiting for His appearing. Waiting for His answer. Waiting for the blessing. And if you have known Him before, if you've known Him in early experience, it will be waiting for the Lord's returning. Yes, it will. Like the Sparrows was. Oh, she had had His favour, had His presence, but lost it through her own folly. But then, going about the streets and in the broad ways, I went a little farther. I found Him whom my soul loveth. Favour it is when we find Him again, when He comes again. When He comes and in wonderful love and mercy begins to make Himself known, reveals Himself again. Yes, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now remember, ever so much we have to know the weakening of our strength in the way and the breaking of it down so that our strength is gone. Remember what the Apostle Paul acknowledged. He said, he spoke of how God gave him that wonderful word, "My grace is sufficient for thee." But my strength, God said, is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's wonderful acknowledgement was, "Most gladly therefore will I bear mine infirmities, that the Spirit of Christ might rest upon me." And if you've been favoured maybe years ago, and you've lost the presence of your Lord, and you've gone a long while in the dark perhaps, oh, the Lord has a purpose in His time to renew such souls. They that wait upon the Lord, and remember what the waiting is, it's having real prayer given you, the dear Spirit indicting real prayer in you, because you have this real need, because you know this real weakness, because you know this real need of the Lord to come again and to restore your soul. Oh, you wait upon Him, and wait in His prayer, and as the Spirit goes on to work and lead you on, God gives you the blessed ingredient with faith and hope and love, and you have a measure of expectation the Lord will hear. This is how you wait. You wait upon Him. You wait before Him. You wait for His returning. Waiting for the Lord's returning. Be it as His word to keep. We know that will be ultimately so when He comes again. But also in experience, be it as His word to keep. May our lamps be always burning. May we watch while others sleep. And if we have this expectation, we shall be able to say, we are no longer of the night. We are children of the light. God gives the light. He lightens our darkness. He gives us that view. He gives us the eye of faith to begin to, again to see our Lord as He's drawing near. He's coming again. He's coming again to bless, to favour us. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, the renewing of strength, especially in this way, beginning again to feed upon Him, to feed upon His word. The dear Spirit blessing you so that you can begin again to feed. Our trouble has come because we've been feeding on the husks. We've been feeding upon things that are pleasant for the flesh. We've been enjoying our lusts. We've been enjoying the things that please the flesh. That's brought the Lord's displeasure. But oh, He brings us down. He breaks our heart. He makes us feel it. He makes us come to confession again. He makes us feel repentance again. He causes us to feel that deep sorrow for sinning against Him. And then, in great mercy, He returns. He comes again. And that we've been so brought to abhor and feel such shame over our feeding, our enjoying upon our lusts, consuming upon our lusts, He now changes it completely by His grace. We don't want those husks. We don't want those things that please the flesh. He sanctifies us by His Spirit and makes us cry out before Him, "Give me Christ or else I die." You see, if we are not supplied, we're going to die. We're going to fall away completely. Oh, you feel it so painfully then. And He comes then. He comes in great mercy. And He favours you to begin to feed upon Him again. Oh, to know the blessed feeding. Coming to the gospel table. Finding its bread richly furnished too. With wine and milk and living bread and dainties not to fear. Oh, coming to the Lord. The most important thing now in your life is coming to the Lord's house. To find some food for your soul. And oh, as you come. You find that gospel table spread with those royal dainties. What are they? Everything what Christ is and everything what He's done. Everything, those things of favour, the dear Spirit blessing you to believe in Christ, to lay hold of Christ, who feed upon Christ. Oh, sacredness of such a thing, Paschal Lamb, by God appointed, loads of sin on thee were laid. By almighty wrath anointed, thou wast full atonement made. All thy people are delivered through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven, peace is made betwixt man and God. You want to know it, you want to feed upon it, you want to have the blessing of partaking of him. That's a wonderful word the apostle has written in his epistle to the Hebrews. And we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And of course that's holding by faith. And it's what the Lord taught us in the early days, as well as what we have to experience and need renewed now. And it's all about him, it's all of him. It's all what he has done. It's he has took our place. He has suffered in our stead. He has shed his blood to put away our sins. He has paid the price. He's redeemed us. Oh, he's redeemed us. And we are favoured to be under the divine atonement of Christ. Oh, sweetness. We sung of it last night at Ripley. That sweetness in that hymn. I can't think the number now, but I chose it and gave it out. But it speaks of Christ's divine atonement. Oh, when we are found with that great favour of being able by faith to believe that we have Christ's divine atonement upon us, and the Father, and then that atonement stands between us and God the Father. Oh, we are by God the Father accepted in his beloved Son. This is the favour that God has in his purpose to bring and bless his people with. They are to know it, friends. It's certain they must. Everyone must know it. Every one of God's people must know and taste redeeming love. They must. It cannot be any other way they can get to heaven. There's no other way, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, friends, can you feel a little now? If I may carefully say it like that, can you feel a little of this, that yes, the Lord is causing you to wait upon him, and that your prayers, you say, my prayers are so poor. But you are waiting upon him, and you humbly hope he will come again. He said, the disciples were very sorrowful, weren't they, as they were there with the Lord, and at that time when the Lord was speaking of his going away from them, of course he'd got to go away, he'd got to go to Calvary and to suffer, bleed and die. And in all the holy will of God, he must then ascend up on high after his glorious resurrection. He was to then ascend up into glory, and that so he would not be with them. They would not know his blessed bodily presence as they had so wonderfully known. And oh, they were sorrowful. He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. May that be a word to some sorrowing soul tonight. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. You know, also there he says, if I go away, I will send you another comforter. And he says also, I go away and I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. So if you've known the Lord's departing from you, is that, oh, the depth of it, friends, it's that deep, sad, solemn desertion that some of God's people have to feel and know. But, and in that place you will say, my my way is it from the Lord. But you know, it's not. God knows everything about you. He knows everything. He cannot leave those he's once blessed, who he's once favoured. He will not. He has a purpose to save them and have them with him for in glory forever and ever. We tend to think that the Lord's left us forever. But of course he's not. And it's so clear in this context he's not. He hadn't left Israel. And he wasn't going to lead them, though there was that to be so much more known in the going into captivity. But he was not going to leave them. God cannot leave his people. He will not. He cannot. He will never, no, never, no, never forsake them. Like we sing it. I believe it, friends. I bring it before you with a measure of faith in exercise. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk. We haven't got time to go into all these. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk in his ways. They shall follow their Lord. They shall walk and not faint. They shall go on professing his name. They shall show in their daily lives who they love and who they serve. They shall run and not be weary. Run in the ways of his commandments. As a word comes, I will run in the ways of his commandments when he shall enlarge my soul. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, the favour, friends, when our spirits ascend. Where congregations near break up and Sabbaths have no end. If you come to the Lord's house and you find it's as the gate of heaven. But if you have that favour to gaze upon your Lord and as he is there for you at Calvary. Here it is, I find my heaven. Well upon the Lamb I gaze, love I march forgiven. I'm a miracle of grace. Oh, mounting up with wings as eagles. It's figurative. It's a figurative term, friends. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, this favour of looking to Jesus, looking up to him, our spirits ascending. Oh, when we, in the theme like we sing, descend from heaven, immortal doves, stoop down and take us on our wings and mount and bear us far above the reach of these inferior things, beyond this lower sky, up where eternal ages roll, where their solid pleasures never die and fruits immortal. Feast a song, oh, for a sight, pleasing sight of our almighty Father's throne. There sits the Saviour, crowned with light, clothed in a body like our own. Oh, friends, my heart's desire and prayer is that the Lord would so bless souls, each one of you, if it could be his will, favour you. Oh, that you might know this favour of having your spirit so ascending to him in wonder and praise. Oh, in love and praise and honour and glory of God's thrice holy name, our God Jehovah, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, one God bless you forevermore. Oh, may we have our hearts tuned and set on fire to praise our God from whom all blessings flow. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Raymond Woodhams will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 711. Amid the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything thou hast seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word, dear Lord. Oh, we beg we may know those things that are begged in that last hymn. Oh, that we might truly want and hide in place and seek thee earnestly and be brought to know we have found in the rock. Lord, oh, we think of those rock doves. Oh, how they are in the rock. And the Lord, there they say, O my God, that art in the cleft of the rock, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Oh, if there's such a soul here, oh, that thou art saying, search in thy way to that soul, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. And Lord, and mine be a speaking to thy honour and glory, we beg. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.